we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, but quick, we're going to talk to Butters and Lee momentarily, but let me just remind you guys, Inspire Advisors is one of our newest advertisers. Man, they are so cool at what they do. Inspire Advisors. And by the way, I'm hearing that they're getting calls from all y'all, so thank you very much. But Inspire Advisors, Paul Breyer and his team, they are experts at what is referred to often as biblically responsible investing. It's a thing. BRI, they call it. Biblically responsible investing. They can help you look at your portfolio, take a look at what you're investing in, and help you get through the possible shock of finding out that some of the investments you have are going to companies that are contrary to the kind of things you actually believe in, things like abortion, pornography, and all of it. So if you want a free sit-down, like a free sit-down in person with Paul Breyer and his team, they'll do that. They'll walk you through it. They'll help you find the things you might want to put in your bottom line that'll grow your bottom line but make you proud of what your bottom line is investing in. So just go to their website. You can check it out and ask for a chance to get together at www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. Or just too easy, go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. On the Right Side Radio Sponsors tab, you'll see their logo. Click on it. Goes right to their website. So, yeah, I mean, listen, Inspire Advisors, way cool. It's about being conservative and godly and having financial freedom all at the same time. Check them out, Inspire Advisors. All right, this is where I get to bring in some people that I love hanging out with, people who mean a lot to this show and people who actually have opinions. I mean, Lord knows we need more opinions around here. But how about we just go ahead and call the roll from up yonder in the Huntsville way, who I heard is like laid up with a ankle injury right now or something. Lee from Huntsville, how you doing? Is she
That's an ankle injury, but still good.
So Achilles tendon, is that what you said?
Yes.
Dang, Lee, that's what you get for, you know, I don't know, running marathons.
Walking the dog.
Yeah. Oh, something easy.
Nothing exciting.
Well, you know, I once had my back go out when I was brushing my teeth. It was kind of like one of those moments where I questioned my own manhood. But anyway, blessings on you, my friend. All right, Lee from Huntsville's on
Thank
the line.
You.
And then also the guy who's often in studio, but today he's calling in, the Butter Man. Butters, how you doing?
I'm doing great. So was Lee out like kicking liberals again?
That's what we're saying it was. She put a roundhouse kick to some liberal's head, and that caused an injury. That's where we're going with Lee. We're going with that.
We can go with that.
Okay.
We can go with that.
All right. I pronounce an episode of Butters and Lee. All right, you guys. You know the deal. I ask y'all questions, and we flip the script, and y'all ask me questions. Let me ask you this. I haven't gotten into the segment yet, so I have not had a chance to poison the well here. I want to hear your thoughts. Right now, there's a lot of reports out there about violent illegal immigrant gangs that are terrorizing border towns and other U.S. cities. I mean, we've got like whole apartment blocks in Aurora, Colorado that have been taken over by Venezuelan gangs, armed Venezuelan gangs. We've got in San Diego, I believe it is, where school buses full of kids were nearly hijacked by gangs of illegal immigrants. We've got El Paso sector of the border on high alert because of cartel wars going on right across the river. So let me ask you this. When is enough enough? When does the American public become so incensed that they will not take it anymore on this illegal immigration issue? Lee, you first.
I mean, I think we're there. I think we're there at the enough is enough point. What's going to happen is when you don't properly police and maintain the gang issue, you have vigilantism. And when you have vigilantism, that's when things start really going south. So I'm afraid that's what we're going to start seeing. And somebody tries to break into somebody's apartment and they take them out.
I think you're right. Now, if somebody's breaking into your apartment, it's not vigilantism. That's the castle doctrine. I mean, you've got the right to defend your own home. It's your castle. And I would say self-defense, in generally speaking, anywhere. But you're right.
True.
What I'm afraid you're going to see, though, is you're going to see people taking matters into their own hands and tracking people down. And vigilantism is never good for a society. All right, Butterman, your thoughts on this? I mean, this is a hairy topic. What do you think? What's the breaking point?
I think you're both on the
the similar track that I would be on. I mean, I think we'd be idiots if we weren't sitting here watching what's going on in the UK and the rest of Europe going, millions coming over our border. Wonder what's going to happen.
I
do think that, the reaction may end up when it, you know, when it boils over, because it seems like it is, if we're not going to get it stopped, then the reaction could be a bit different than what you're seeing in the UK. You know, we're just a lot bigger country with a lot more people and probably a lot more firearms. So
yeah, we're an armed society. I mean, we have a right to carry, and we have laws that allow you to, you know, use deadly force to protect yourself in the event of life, limb, or property being that threatened. I agree with both of you.
But you also can... You're gonna find people. What was the name of that group that used to go around New York City? Something, maybe Angels. I can't remember now.
Oh yeah,
where they would go around to protect. Yes, what you can end up with is groups that are like, okay, we're gonna go around and start protecting people when they're trying to bust in their apartments. And that's kind of what I meant by vigilantism. You're gonna start, or you're gonna have somebody with a. They're gonna break into somebody's apartment that's got an AR, and you're gonna be taking out 10 people with it. Yeah. And that's when you have to say, because the police are so understaffed there. And in a lot of places, there's just not enough. And when you start to feel you're not protected, you're just going to do it yourself.
What's that, Butters?
I was going to say, isn't that kind of the origin story of the mob? What was, you know, police action in the neighborhoods and you know, kind of keeping order and all that kind of stuff? I mean, America's just, we're a much different country, and... I just hope whatever they've got up their sleeve and planned, I think they're going to be shocked.
Well, and here's the thing that I think, so in terms of what is the actual tipping point, and I agree, I think we're pretty much there, but I think if you're looking for a flashpoint, like for instance, part of what we saw in Aurora, Colorado this morning was actual footage from a Ring camera that was across the hall watching armed Venezuelan gang members breaking into a door, and you could tell they were operating with impunity. They just walked around that building like it was theirs. And I think what's going to wind up happening is, you know, we've had Lake and Riley and other wonderful, you know, kids who've been murdered or assaulted. But it always happened at a place where we knew about it. We got mad about it. I think we're going to wind up seeing something in the near future where it's caught on video and the world gets to see it happen. And I think that's going to be a flashpoint if we don't watch out. Just saying.
Yep.
And then, you know, part of this happening in San Diego too, by the way, that's the home of, you know, Coronado, where they train Navy SEALs. Good Lord. there's some people in these communities who have the skill sets, if you know what I'm saying. So
yeah, that's bad. They need to pick their locations a little bit better.
All right. I tell you what, that's a full question. I think it's still a developing question, but I will say this. I hope we don't get to that point. But it's going to take true political will and leadership for people to begin shutting this thing. And I truthfully think it's going to take Trump getting elected. That's what's going to have to happen. Otherwise, we're going to see more of the same.
Right.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. Change the subject. So Alabama's VCAP bill, that's the Vulnerable Child and Protection Act that blocks transgender treatments and surgeries on kids. It was just upheld. So victory for Alabama. We also saw the same victory in the last few days for Florida. But other states are calling themselves sanctuary states for trans kids, and they even ban parents from having a say in anything to do with this whole transgender agenda with their minor children. Let me ask you this. You think it's ever going to reach the Supreme Court of the United States that puts in a uniform practice or a law across the nation, or is it going to keep being this patchwork quilt of activism, non-activism? You first, Butters.
Well, I think a lot of that probably depends on who steps into the executive branch here in a few months. I think the silliness is going to continue. So, you know, it's crazy that it's even a thing. I'm curious, like, who all, particularly in the state of Alabama, like, what are the medical, who are the actual medical professionals that are behind, you know, supporting this? Because I'd love to not ever use them.
UAB Children's Hospital, if I'm not mistaken, was one of the centers where you can get all this done.
Hate to hear that.
Yeah, I know. I do too, because that's a that's a much vaunted organization, or you know, that's a world-class facility.
I think you know, the obviously as long as the current judicial system, I mean they're gonna push as hard as they can to lay out whatever agenda they have for this. So I'd say the names of our local, you know, to what you were talking about with local government and all that kind of stuff, the names of and grow awareness of who exactly in the state of Alabama is supporting this.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
All right. Weigh in, Lee.
I think it will end up going to the Supreme Court, but it's definitely a state's issue to me. A lot like abortion, you know? But do I think it'll eventually get there? Probably. Maybe they'll come up with legislation, because honestly, there's nobody who can sit here and defend that, you know, 16 or 15 year olds need to have their genitals removed. That's ridiculous. And when you talk to a lot of activists, they say, oh, that's not happening. And I'm like, well, if it's not happening, then why do you care if there's a law, right? I mean, if it's not happening, then it doesn't make a difference. But it is happening. And we've had whistleblowers talk about it happening. So I think that I'd like to see Trump in office. I'd like to see some Republican, lawmakers find their, you know, giblets and put a law together.
You can't say giblets on my TV show, my radio show.
That's right. A nice way.
So we're about to run to a break, but I'll just say this. I think you guys are on track. Lee, you just said you think it's a states' rights issue. The interesting dynamics are going to be is how is it construed in, you know, the law calls it in pari materia, where you have to take laws and you have to make them fit together. If you have laws against child trafficking, if you have laws, federal laws, if you have laws against endangerment, and you also have now a conflict of laws from state to state, there are times when the Supremes have to weigh in. And at the same time, I wonder, where is the threshold? Can they say it's a state law as to the certain age, but then give it to the state to say whether they will or will not do it? I mean, right now you got transgender activism for toddlers in some states. And then in other states, it's like hands off. When they're adults, they can make their own decisions, which to me, I look at it and go, wow, why doesn't that make sense? Anyway, a lot more. But this is a culture war, man. This has got to be fought. Okay, that was round one. That flew by. Butters and Lee were answering questions. We come back from this break. It's where we flip the script. I wait to see what question they have for me. I just hope I can answer it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're going back to round number two, Butters and Lee. I'm going to go ahead and say, Butterman, you first. What question do you have from Wah?
Well, so this one a little long, so hang in with me.
Oh, he's going to filibuster, Lee.
So
I know it.
RFK Jr. Tweeted out earlier today, and I'll just read it and trying to hit the high points. He said, I'm an old school environmentalist, a lover and protector of nature. The Democrats obsess about counting CO2 while neglecting urgent issues such as chemicals in our food and soil and water. Ironically, many carbon motivated environmental policies actually harm the environment. He said, I found my surprise that many people at the Trump team, including President Trump himself, care about the same environmental issues I do. And then he goes on to talk about how, you know, the environment was a unifying force back in the 1960s, and he's hoping to make it a unifying force again.
Okay. Yep.
In the Trump administration.
Yeah.
So my question is he on to something?
Yeah.
I just, you know, I got to know the Coosa River Keepers from local stuff going on there on our river, and you know, they're an organization that were started by RFK, and I was kind of shocked. We actually get along really, really well.
Yeah, so there's a vast difference between being an environmentalist, activist, wacko, Green New Deal, the earth is going to die, Chicken Little, the sky is falling, and being someone who believes in being a good steward of what God has given us. So I hearken to the old school days of, curbing pollution and picking up trash and organizing. I've been a part of organizing events to go and like clean up the riverfront and all that. And I and nobody, I don't know anybody who believes in the idea of massive chemical spills from factories being a good thing. And I'm for these lawsuits where kids who had cancer because the water table was destroyed by a local factory, you know, finally get some justice. That's a whole lot different than activists who, you know, throw red paint on priceless works of art and scream that the you know, the climate change is coming. That's an entirely different category. And I agree with that tweet from RFK Jr. that a common sense, and he calls it environmentalism. I would just call it a stewardship. Mm-hmm. A common sense environmental stewardship is just part of taking care of what we got. So I'm for that. You know, it incenses me when I see people littering or trashing their, you know, their neighborhoods or whatever. I've said before, I'm a firm believer that you can live in a dirt floor shack. You can still sweep your dirt. Well, that means take care of stuff just because you can. So anyway, well, there's my thoughts. And we got very, very quick there, Butters.
I was just going to say, can that be a topic that bridges, opens the discussion to folks that aren't too far gone on the wokeness of the Democrats?
I would hope so. Like, and I think what it shows is, you know, the old school version of taking care of our environment was just that. It was taking care of our environment. It wasn't the all of the acid rain, melting of the snow caps and the icebergs and Al Gore selling carbon offsets. I mean, just let's get back to common sense. So there. Good question, man. Right. All right, Leister, what you got for me?
So you kind of brought that briefly, the about the school buses. You know, they were attempted hijacking of school buses.
Yeah.
I saw that earlier, and to me, I wonder how practical you think it is. I think every school should have a resource police officer, at least one. And if they don't, they need to have a member of administration or something like that who's firearm trained and keeps it on their person every day at school.
Yep.
I also believe bus drivers should be arm trained and have arms on them at this point, especially in the dangerous areas. But they don't seem to be willing to do anything like that because all it would take is a bus full of children to go down, and it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
And that can be the kind of flashpoint we're talking about a few minutes ago. So the answer is yes, with only about a minute left to go. The answer is absolutely yes. SROs are a big, big deal, and they need to be funded at the local level. I'll never forget a small town called Altoona that was in my Senate district, and I helped them to do an annexation. By agreement, the neighboring property said yes, absolutely. They wanted to annex land that got them a bridge of land. It wasn't like they were taking up farms and all that. Just a bridge of land to get to the local school that was out in the county so they could then provide a SRO at their own cost. They literally took every step they could because the mayor's words of a town of only 900 people, he said, we're going to take care of those kids. And I totally agree. I think that's the model, is they have to recognize that we might be in a different day and age, and policing – it gives kids a role model, hopefully, but it also gives them a sense of protection, and it's worth doing. Absolutely worth doing. Man, that flew by.
Agreed.
That flew by. All right, Lee, get better and get back out there and start roundhouse kicking some more liberals. All right.
I will.
All right. All right. I love both of you. That's Butters and Lee here on a Thursday afternoon. As always, we'll have them back again next week, or maybe even sooner. Who knows? But yeah. That's just good doings. All right, listen, we're going to come right back. We're switching gears. Some of what we already talked about is about to come out. Immigration Nation. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.